that I want to talk about this morning, okay? Two main points, with each main point having a couple of sub-points, but just two. And that'll take up all the time that I have this morning. The first point that I want to make is what I'm just going to simply call a clarification. A clarification, okay? Now, I'm not trying to clarify what murder is. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. I know you all understand what murder is. Here's what I mean by that. I need to clarify, biblically speaking, that all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. Let me say that again. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. The Bible makes a distinction, and so should we make a biblical distinction. Now, the reason that I say this is that there are those who would question Christians about this commandment. They may come up to you and say something like this. Tell me, sir, ma'am, are you pro-life? Well, absolutely, I'm pro-life. So you don't have a problem with God killing all those women and children in the Bible? You mean you don't have a problem with God killing all those people in those cities? You don't have a problem with God saying to the Israelites, just go and wipe out the entire city. Don't even leave the babies. You're pro-life, but you don't have a problem with that? See, folks, that's one of the reasons why when somebody asks you pro-life, you need to say, okay, what do you mean by pro-life? Okay, by pro-life, yes, I'm anti-abortion, absolutely. But I don't believe the Bible says that all killing is wrong. I believe there's a time and a place when death is the appropriate punishment. Don't let folks talk you into something, back you into a corner. Make them define their terms, okay? The reason I'm saying this is clarification because I want you to understand. You may get into a conversation one day with a skeptic or a cynic about something like this. And don't let them define the terms. Don't let them push their agenda. You say, no, wait a minute. Let's go back to the Bible and see what the Bible actually says about this. Part of the confusion in this particular verse, at least for the skeptics and the non-believers, and even some true believers that just have not learned, is that versions like the King James Version say, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say, thou shalt not murder. It says, thou shalt not kill. And that causes some confusion. This would indicate, again, that any and all killing is wrong, but that is not what the Bible teaches. So under this clarification, a couple of things. First of all, let's clarify what it is and it is not, okay? You see the word murder there. This is one of seven Hebrew words that's used for killing in the Old Testament. This particular word refers to premeditated murder. Murder that is thought about, that is planned, and then is carried out. It refers to any unauthorized killing. It is also used of revenge in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 7. This particular word for murder in the Hebrew is specific to putting to death improperly for selfish reasons rather than with authorization. It's an unauthorized, premeditated taking of a life. That's what is being prohibited here. The Hebrew word is never used. Let me give you just a few examples here. It is never used in the context of war. Okay? Because some may say, well, what about all those wars? This is not the word that is used. God actually sanctioned war in the Bible against other wicked nations. And he told Israel in a few places, gather your army together. There were some people, or some nations that is, that tried to oppress God's people. And so Israel was just in going to war to protect themselves, to protect their families. They were just wars. Now understand, folks, not all wars are just. Not all wars are just. Some are started by evil people for evil purposes. And somebody might ask, well, just what is a just war? And I'm glad you asked that because I just happen to have an answer here for you. Back down through Christian history, all the way back down to the time of St. Augustine, the church has developed the understanding of a just war. And it means, number one, there must be a just cause to stop aggression in the world. There must be a just cause to stop aggression in the world. Number two, there must be a just intent to secure order and to secure justice for everyone. Number three, it must be waged only as a last resort when all other efforts have been exhausted. And number four, it must be declared by a legitimate authority. Christians down through the centuries have understood this principle of a just war. Not all wars are just. Some are started with evil intentions. But when a war is started and they meet these criteria, that war is just. God does not condemn that. In fact, God even told the people, his own people, to declare war at times against wicked nations. The word is also not used in the context of capital punishment. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, God says this, "Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man." This goes back again to the thought of premeditated murder. God says, premeditated murder. Those who carry it out, they are to be put to death. You can also see this in Exodus chapter 21, verse 14. Listen, folks, y'all remember that the Old Testament actually teaches that children who were in rebellion to their parents could be put to death. They could be stoned for rebelling against their parents. And God says, you take the life of another individual, I will require your life for their life. In the New Testament, Paul wrote about those who bear the sword and punish evildoers, Romans 13, 4, speaking of the government. "For he is God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." I understand there are people today who have a problem with capital punishment. They do not like capital punishment. But please understand, from everything I understand, capital punishment is biblical. And this particular word is never used in that regard. And there's one other thing that I'll point out. It is never used concerning self-defense. Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 teaches that if a homeowner was to catch a thief breaking into his house at night, you come home and you catch someone breaking into your house and you strike that thief and he dies, you will not be guilty. However, now be careful. God says, now, if it happens during the daytime, that's different. But in nighttime, if you strike someone and they die, you will not be guilty. In Luke chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus told his followers that if they did not have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. In the Old Testament, God made concessions for people who committed accidental death. And it gives an example of an accidental death of two men going out into the woods to chop wood, and the head of the axe comes off of one axe and it strikes the other man and it kills him. That's not a premeditated death. That's an accidental death. That person who was holding the axe, the head came off of, he could run, and he was to go to one of the cities of refuge. And there, he could find refuge there. In Joshua chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." However, having said that, for murder, which is the unjustifiable taking of another life, there was to be no place of refuge. We need to clarify that. Murder, there is no excuse for. There's no refuge for that. Accidental killing, you could find a place of refuge. But for this premeditated murder, this crime of the heart, there was no place to run. We need to clarify that. The other thing that we need to clarify is this, that God does not murder when he takes a life. Because sometimes you will hear this said. Some people say, well, why does God kill people? Does God not break his own commandment by doing this? He says, don't kill. And then he goes off and kills people. Is God not guilty? Well, the answer is no. Deuteronomy 32, 39. "Now see that I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand." God said, "I can give you life and I can take your life. And I'm totally justified whenever I do it." God is justified, folks, in taking anyone's life, because guess what? All of us are guilty. All of us are guilty of sin. And the punishment for sin is death. And it's only by God's grace and his mercy that every one of us have not been snuffed out just like that. Every once in a while, you'll hear, say, like whenever 9/11 happened and all those people died when those towers came down. People say, man, all those people died, or some mass shooting. But all those people died. I mean, it's just so senseless, that tragedy. All those people died then. Listen, folks, there wasn't one person that died on 9/11 that wasn't going to die anyway. And you know why they were going to die? Because sin. I understand what you're saying when you say, man, it's such a massive tragedy at one time. I mean, it punches us in the gut. But folks, we're going to die anyway. God actually wiped from the face of the earth everyone except for Noah's family. Why? Because the world was full of evil continually. When the Israelites were going to the promised land, they were to destroy its inhabitants. That's what God said, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 16 through 20. You remember that? That's one of the things that people have problem with. God said, go and destroy everybody. Well, guess what, folks? There were certain cities, there were certain peoples that God said, when you go in, destroy all of them. Men, women, children, animals, destroy every one of them because of their wickedness. However, did you know that the Israelites were not to destroy every city they came in contact with? Not every city. There were cities outside of the territory of Canaan. And when they came to those cities, the Bible says, you are to give that city an opportunity for peace. And if they refuse, then the males of that city were to be killed, but the women and children were to be spared. They were to plunder that city, but the women and children were not to be killed. God said, you give that city an opportunity for peace. And if they accept that, then they will be your servants. But not every city, but there were some cities. The wicked acts of the people of Canaan, the people that they were supposed to destroy, their acts included things like sexual immoralities, incest, adulteries, sexual intercourse apart from biological norms that we understand, and we all understand what he's saying there, even including intercourse with animals. Some of these people engaged in child sacrifice. And God said, when you go in, wipe them out. Deuteronomy 7:2, defeat them. Then you will devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. But here's the good news. Out of all of those wicked people in the land, if there was one that came and trusted the Lord God of Israel, guess what? They were spared. Remember somebody named Rahab? A harlot who actually wound up in the lineage of the Messiah. You see, folks, it's not unlike today. Jesus Christ comes offering terms of peace. He says, my peace I give to you. You can experience my peace if you will just trust me. And listen, whenever we trust him, what do? We become his servants, but we live. But if we reject his offer of peace, we are destroyed. We are cast away forever from his presence. The same thing. And guess what? God is absolutely justified in sending a person to hell that rejects his offer of peace. Totally justified. God is not guilty of anything whenever people die. He's not unjust in taking lives. He does not murder them, but simply allows them to go their way and they suffer the punishment for their sin. And it's for all eternity. All right, that's the clarification. Second point is what I'm going to call the revelation. Two things that murder reveal about us. Number one, it reveals that our heart is wicked. Okay? Murder reveals at the end of the day that it is an evil heart that's the problem. It may be true that someone has wronged you. They may have done a great injustice to you. So the person who's been wrong, if that's you, you want to get revenge. They've done me wrong and I want to get revenge. Listen, folks, that revenge still reveals a heart problem because God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It tells us that our heart is absolutely wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. That's where it comes from. See, the Pharisees, they wanted to argue that your disciples, they're not washing their hands. They're defiling themselves by eating with unclean hands. And Jesus said, don't you understand? That's not what defiles a person. It's not what goes into you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you because it reveals a wicked person. Cain killed Abel because of a heart that was filled with hatred and jealousy and anger and bitterness. The Bible tells us that we should love one another and not be like Cain. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 speaks of Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, I want y'all to stop for just a second. Listen to me. Have y'all ever thought about this, that Cain was actually a worshiper? Cain came to worship. At least Cain went through the motions of being a worshiper. But he was a murderer at heart. He came in and he was doing all the right things, going through the right motions. But he was a murderer. Murderers can go through all the right motions. You can come in and you can sing and you can sit when you're supposed to sit and stand when you're supposed to stand, and you can give some money and you can say amen. You can do all those kinds of things. You can go through the motions of being a worshiper and still be a murderer. All this external stuff means nothing without the right heart. Murder is a crime of the heart. It's a crime of the heart. His worship was worthless. Why? Because John said here in 1 John 3:12, because he was of the wicked one. Isn't that something? Folks, stop and think about that just for a second. I mean, that's kind of blowing my mind right now, you know, which didn't take much to do that. But, I mean, he's doing the right things, but he's not of God. He's of the wicked one. Search my heart, oh God. Search my heart and make sure that my heart's right. I'm up here preaching this message this morning. That doesn't mean that my heart's right. I know y'all don't struggle with this, but let me tell you something that your preacher struggles with. I know y'all are beyond this. But I have a tendency to try to justify my behavior by blaming what others do. I know y'all don't do that. But your preacher struggles with that sometimes. I try to justify my actions by what others do. If you hadn't have acted the way you acted, then I wouldn't have acted the way I acted. Well, if you hadn't said what you said, then I wouldn't have said what I said. If only somewhere somebody had written something about this to clarify. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody did. And they said that it's not what goes into me, it's what comes out of me that defiles me. Jesus would say, Matthew 5, 21 and 22, you have heard it said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, which means empty-headed, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So whether or not we actually commit the act, If we think the thought, then our heart's not right. It's full of wickedness, which indicates that our relationship with God is not right. When I am angry at my brother, when I call him names, Jesus said, you're in danger of the hellfire. I've never killed anyone. Yes, but you're walking around with anger and bitterness in your heart. You are walking a mighty, mighty dangerous line, my friend. Your heart's not right. My heart's not right when I live that way. I mean, I haven't killed them physically, for which I'm sure they're mighty appreciative of. But I'm still not right. Do things like this, does this kind of help y'all understand when we talk about you can't live the Christian life apart from Jesus? You can't do this apart from Christ. Does this help y'all understand whenever preachers get in the pulpit and start talking about you better count the cost and decide whether you want to follow Jesus or not? Because I'm going to tell you something. I mean, it's so costly that Jesus says, if you continue with anger in your heart, you call your brother name, there's no forgiveness in your heart, and you want to live with anger and bitterness, you're in danger of hellfire. Wait a minute, but I went to church this morning. That does not matter. So whether I actually kill someone, let me say it this way. Whether I actually kill an adult out of anger or a baby out of convenience or personal choice, it's a revelation that my heart's not right with God. Y'all understand where I'm coming from that? Y'all understand? Whether you kill an adult out of anger or a baby out of personal choice and convenience, it makes no difference. You're a murderer and your heart's not right. Let me say this. Murders can be forgiven. Moses was forgiven. David was forgiven. Paul was forgiven. Anyone who has committed any kind of murder can be forgiven. It's not the unpardonable sin. That's why they call it grace, folks. But if we try to excuse our actions instead of calling it what the Bible calls it, that indicates our heart's not right. Our heart is not right at all. When a person is saved, he or she gets a new heart. That's what the Bible says. This new heart or new creation is capable of loving and forgiving. It is capable of being able to trust God for vengeance instead of seeking its own revenge. That's what happens when a person becomes born again. Everything becomes new. So this revelation, first of all, it reveals that our heart's not right. It's a wicked heart. And the other revelation that we get is that it reveals that we do not value or appreciate what God has made in His own image. I read to you from Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, just a few minutes ago, which verse 6 says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. We were created in the image of God, not the animals. I know that we have animal lovers in here today. God bless you. I understand that. But animals are not made in the image of God, only humans. Humans have the ability to have a relationship with God that animals do not have. God gave dominion to man, not animals, not to any other created thing. We were created so that we could have a relationship with God. We were created so that we could live in a way that glorifies God. We have that capability. And for me to take someone else's life says, I know you were created in the image of God, but I don't care. I'm going to take you out anyway. And we take matters into our own hands. In the Bible, God made it clear that man's purpose is not to take life, but man's purpose is for procreation and protection of life. Not taking life, but creating life through procreation and protection. That's abundantly clear from Scripture. This means that all life, all human life is valuable from the womb to the tomb, as well as black, as well as white. It does not matter what color someone is. All are made in the image of God. And we should never, ever, ever look down on someone else because of the color of their skin or their age or their disabilities or anything. I heard a politician arguing just the other day. Well, I saw the video. I don't know how long ago they were actually arguing this, but there was a politician arguing that Christians should not force our beliefs about abortion on other people. The reasoning being because not everybody has the Christian faith. All faiths are different. And just because our faith says that life begins at conception does not mean that other faiths believe the same thing. For other people, their faiths don't believe that it begins at conception. Listen to me close. Folks, you don't even have to argue from the Bible or from faith that life begins at conception. Just open up your science book and it'll tell you that. You don't even have to go to the Bible. Science will tell you life begins at conception. It doesn't make any difference what faith you are. That's totally irrelevant. The microscope, the scientist's lab, tells the story of the wonder of new life, even from conception. Folks, it does not make any difference. Again, any emotion, whether it is hatred, whether it is unforgiveness, or whether it is prejudice, indicates that we do not value others the way that we are supposed to. When I look at someone else and I look down on them, I think they are less than me because they're different than me. That says that I don't value God's creation and man who is made in his image. And so guess what? When I look down on other people, such as, say, Hitler, I don't have a problem in the world with exterminating millions of people. Because I don't value what God has created. Why? Because my heart's not right. Man, I long for the day in the church. I long for the day will come in church. And I realize I'm walking a thin line here. That's fine. I stand by what I'm about to say. I look forward to the day whenever we as the church can actually refer to another person as just another person and not say, well, they're white. Well, he's black. What difference does that make? They're just God's creation. Oh, by the way, there's only one human race. There's only one race, the human race. It's a matter of the heart. So, I don't know about you, but I'm bringing this to a close. But I don't know about you, but I'm telling on myself a lot this morning, aren't I? I try to ease my conscience sometimes by saying when I get angry or something, I say, well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I know y'all have never done that. I try to ease my conscience, say, well, I didn't say what I wanted to say. If I'd have said what I wanted to say, and well, pat me on the back, pin a rose on my nose. But the fact that it was there, and just because I didn't say it, didn't mean I didn't want to say it. And the fact that I wanted to say it, and the fact that I wanted to do it, reveals that I still got some work to do in my heart. It's a crime of the heart. Crime of the heart. That's where it comes from. That's what the Bible says. Listen. I may never kill anyone. I may never kill anyone, but guess what? When I die, if I die apart from Jesus, I'm going to hell. I still don't get this. This is an aside, okay? This is a rabbit. Try not to chase rabbits in my conclusions, but I'm going to do that today. You know, it just amazes me that for most people, to even Christian people today, I mean, you know, there was a famous singer just died the past couple of days. Some of the things that I've seen on Facebook, you know, well, I hope he's in heaven having him a big cold tall one. See, for a lot of people, it's not justification by faith, it's justification by death. All you got to do and you're in. All you got to do is die and you're in. Just die. Just die and you're in. And you're in heaven sipping margaritas. You're in heaven doing all the things that you did on earth. But he never killed anybody. Never did this and never did that. But he never trusted Jesus. If you didn't trust Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Why do we not believe that anymore? Let me go on. I don't want just my actions cleaned up. I want my thought life to be right as well. And that begins with the heart. I don't want to depend upon, you know, well, I did right and I didn't do this and I didn't. I want my heart to be right. Yes, a couple people said the other day, said, Brother Steve, you know, Miss Mary's funeral, you know, so you did a good job. That was something good what you did. I said, yeah, but you know what? She made it easy. She made it easy. She preached her funeral. I just stand up here and say, hey, look, here was a Christian lady who demonstrated that she loved Jesus. Anybody could preach that kind of funeral. It's a matter of the heart, folks. That's what it is. That's what I'm talking about today. And here today, as we get ready to have this invitation, I understand as a human being, since I am one, a very faulty one at that, I understand how easy it is to justify things in our life based on what we did or did not do, what we did or did not say. But listen, Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're going to talk about one again next week. It ain't going to get no easier. It's all a matter of here. And I want to ask you today, listen to me. Don't write me off. Don't turn me off. Listen to me. How's your heart? How's your heart? You got anger? You got bitterness? You got unforgiveness? You got all those kind of things? Are you holding on to those things? Do you call people names? Do you insult their character? Do you do those things? Your heart's not right. Now's the time. You've heard the message. Now's the time to get it right. Good a time to start as any. When we have this hymn of invitation, you need to lay that burden down. You need to lay that sin down. You need to get forgiveness. You say, preacher, I'm not going to murder anybody. That's not the point. The point is your heart's not right with God. And if you live in that continual state, that is an indication that there is a serious problem in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to get that taken care of today. It all begins in the heart.